Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
My name is Deborah Rutter, and I am the president of the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts.
And we've spoken so many times over the years, either in studio or on the red carpet or otherwise, but it's so great to talk with you again because this is your big week of the year, the 45th annual Kennedy Center Honors. Wow, 45 years. And we have some huge honorees this year. One of your biggest lineups ever, although I'm sure we say that every year. You always get going.
Oh, we absolutely say that every year.
But this year it's true again. Better than ever. Tell us, well, I want to get to this year's honorees, but big picture it for us. You know, what year we're in and how you just continually just top yourselves with these honorees.
Well, I have to say that every year is a challenging year because we think, well, last year was the best year ever. How are we ever going to be able to match that? And then we pull it all together and the honorees are just fabulous. And in this case, each of them is so thrilled and so honored to be a part of this and are seeing this as a really important moment in their career. So it's really, really wonderful to have such enthusiastic, wonderful honorees this year.
Absolutely. And it will be held Sunday, December 4th, you know, the red carpet, then the big performance, the whole works, all the surprise guests, which I'm sure we can't name them, but that's always a surprise every year.
The question everybody always wants, who's going to be there? And then they try and guess. And I just look at them innocently and shrug and say, well, we'll see on Sunday, won't we?
Oh, yeah. Do you, by the way, and we will get to the honorees in one second, I promise, folks. But now that we're thinking about it, do you have any favorite surprise performances? Because I'll list mine. I remember when Sting was being honored, I remember sitting there in the auditorium and all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, Lady Gaga. And she sings, If I Ever Lose My Faith. Of course, the big Aretha Franklin for Carole King brought the rafters down. Rest in peace. But do you have any favorites from your tenure that just blew you away?
Well, I have to say there are so many memorable moments, and some of the ones that I think about are ones that are maybe not the big, big, most visible moments. I remember the tribute that we did to Carmen de Lavallade, and the dance segment was so beautiful and so unexpected. And this is what's really wonderful about Kennedy Center Honors, is that we have always very, very name-friendly, big, well-known celebrities. And then we always have one or two artists who are perhaps less well-known to the broad, broad audience. And Carmen de Lavallade, despite her remarkable career, was one of those artists. And the tribute that was put together for her with the dancers and the speakers and the musicians was just so beautiful. And I will always remember that one as well. I know that we'll have another, at least one or more of that kind of moments this weekend as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's such a great point because, you know, people might tune in for, you know, I don't know, LL Cool J or whatever, or I guess, yeah, that year was LL Cool J, but then they did learn about Carmen de Lavallade and vice versa.
Exactly. People didn't know anything about LL, and they didn't know that he's really good friends with Lionel Richie, and that, in fact, they all have a relationship back to Norman Lear. So that's what I really love when you get the honorees together on Saturday morning, mm-hmm. and you find out that they actually all know one another or they have some other connection to one another. That's the really special moment for me personally, I have to say.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's the perfect segue. Without further ado, let's go into this year's honorees for the 45th annual Kennedy Center Honors. And let's take them one at a time so I can get, you know, a separate soundbite on each of these. So let's start off with the actor who I always call our generation's Cary Grant, Mr. George Clooney. You could say long overdue, but I mean, these are always legends, so it's hard to find room. But man, why are we, obviously, I want to hear it in your words, but it's obvious. Why are we picking George Clooney?
Well, other than the fact that he is indeed our generation's Cary Grant, and I haven't met a single person yet who said, oh yeah, he's not really that good looking. I really believe it's the diversity of what he's done, how he's been a producer, he's as well as an actor. But more than that, it's the role he plays offstage as well. he is truly a citizen artist, using his talents to make the world a better place. How he has appropriately, you know, involved himself in issues both here in the United States, around the world. I think he is a truly remarkable individual.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I love that you mentioned not only the acting, but, you know, he's, you know, directed Good Night and Good Luck, which was the great Edward R. Murrow movie. He's produced, I guess he won an Oscar producing Argo, one of the producers. But then, you know, and then, of course, then acting, he won for Syriana. And but do you have a personal favorite role? I mean, I'm trying to a bunch come to me. I mean, Ocean's 11, Michael Clayton, Up in the Air, The Descendants, Ides of March. He's done so many. But do you have a personal favorite?
Well, this is going to date me, perhaps. But, you know, when we first all got to know the man as Dr. Ross, he will never be anything other than that. It's so hard, actually, in standing, looking at him, talking to him about any number of different things, not to think back to that moment.
You're talking ER.
I'm talking ER. Yes, I am. And the fact of the matter is that I, you know, we are all of a certain generation, and we all have our favorite shows, but this was one that was sort of one of those shows I made a point of figuring out how to watch. Appointment television, imagine that.
I know. Now you can just fire it up whenever you want. But you know what? The good news on that, I guess, is you can watch ER. You can binge all of them now. Just pull it right up. But yes, I'm sure most people will, you know, remember Ocean's 11 and ER, and I got to give a shout out to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou. That movie was hilarious with the Coen brothers. But there's
I just saw him last in his newest movie, and it was just so fun. You know, it was, I needed something that was just going to be uplifting and fun. And Ticket to Paradise is just a really beautiful film too. He's, you know, he's not the beloved character in it until a little further in, but you know, he's George Clooney. What's not to love?
Gotta love him. Gotta love him. I think he should have won for The Descendants, and then he was in Gravity. There's so many. We could go all day, but let's move on to one of the other honorees. So, all right. So George Clooney's won. That's hard to top. But you managed to do it. You top it. Gladys Knight. Let's talk about you know, legendary, you know, the singer with the Pips and all those great songs. Why'd we go with Gladys Knight this year?
You know, Gladys is somebody who has had a relationship in this city and with the honors. Certainly somebody that we've all listened to for so long, changed the world, the way we think about her music, her and her music making. She's has won so many Grammys in all kinds of different art forms. She was here for Garth Brooks. Can you remember that?
Oh my gosh, Garth, the king of country. Yes,
absolutely. And so, you know, the thing is that people say, well, why hasn't this person already won? Well, you know, we only honor five a year. It's about the timing. It's about who's doing what, when, where, how, etc. And we're just thrilled that she is, she will be here this week. She's doing a citizen artist giving back into the world and participating in World AIDS Day at the Kennedy Center on Wednesday this week.
Absolutely. And so many legendary songs, you know, Midnight Train to Georgia, and That's What Friends Are For. And she did a version of Heard It Through the Grapevine. There's so many. Do you have any personal favorites?
I think That's What Friends Are For. I think it's so moving. And it's so extraordinary about the way in which she's worked with other artists, she's a real collaborator, which I think is really wonderful. But That's What Friends Are For, you know, pulls the heartstrings.
Absolutely. I think she even did a Bond theme too, License to Kill. She's done it all. She's done it all. And then hearing her sing Garth Brooks just proved that she could do it all.
Exactly.
Awesome. All right. And then another singer, we mentioned country music. Never mind. Amy Grant's not really country. Well, she's gospel, Christian pop. She's done it all. I'm thinking the Vince Gill connection, but
exactly. I mean, she is really remarkable, and how she has really blended into so many different art forms, how respected she is. I'm really excited about the tribute that we're putting together for her. And in the program book, we've got a very, very long, long, loving tribute letter to Amy from Dolly Parton. It's just magnificent. And it really speaks to who she is as a person. A beautiful, really beautiful humility brings to her music making her very soul. And I think it's going to be a beautiful tribute.
Now, is Vince Gill, her husband, a possibility as a performer? Does he get to sit up in the balcony with her?
The world is a possibility.
Beautiful dodge. So way to spin out
if
of that
only you
one.
Saw my soporific smile on my face. Yes, anything is possible.
Exactly. Anything's possible. But yes, we interviewed Amy Grant a couple months ago. She came to Capital One Hall or something, I think. We need to remind our listeners that, you know the name, but you totally forget how many even pop radio hits. I mean, Baby Baby and Every Heartbeat and Good For Me. And there, I Will Remember You. Like, people will, I'm telling you, you will know all of these songs. So there's a plethora of stuff that your guest performers can perform with Amy Grant. All right, cool. And then U2. Oh my gosh. I mean, they could be a headliner. These sell out stadiums worldwide. I've seen them live. They're amazing. Bono and Edge and everybody. But man, this is one of the biggest rock bands. I mean, you've done Led Zeppelin and I guess Eagles, but this has got to be one of the biggest bands you've ever honored here.
You know, I think you are absolutely right. And I was, I have to say that in a way, U2 is my generation, but it is also earlier. I mean, I'm older for the U2. So Eagles and Led Zeppelin were more my generation, but I have to say the work of U2 and the way they connect through their music, the poetry of their music, the messaging of their music is so iconic. And the worldwide recognition and appreciation for who they are as artists, it's such a fascinating story that they have, and how they came together and how they started the band and then how they make decisions. As with some of these folks, we've been talking to them for a number of years, and it really was because they could be here all together at this time that U2 is being honored this year. And I'm just so impressed by who they are as people. Again, the citizen artistry of individuals who use their platform to make the world a better place, really remarkable. But I have to say, it'll be very different being in a 2,000 seat opera house than in a 100,000 seat arena or large concert venue.
Oh, I mean, it's such a great point to see an intimate perform, or well, they're not going to play, but they'll be watching other people play. To see their songs live in this intimate setting. I mean, they saw, they headlined the freaking Super Bowl. I mean, I'll never forget their 9/11 tribute with where the streets have no names. I don't know if you remember, but where
I sure do.
Oh, the names of all the victims went up on the towers collapsing, and Bono just lets out this primal scream, and he had the American flag inside his jacket, and it is bringing you to tears just thinking about it. Talk about their versatility. Like, so you do a transcendent song like Where the Streets Have No Name, but with or without you could rip your heart out, or they could do political like the MLK, the Pride in the Name of Love, spiritual, mysterious ways, humanist, like one love, one, uplifting, beautiful day. God, I could go all day. But like, talk about how you have, it's an embarrassment of riches of songs to give to these surprise performers, won't it be?
So honestly, Jason, you are remarkable about how you know all of these artists. And you know it so deeply. I'm really, really impressed. So, lifetime achievement for artistry is something that we think about all the time. And the artist that has the most diversity, the most apparent growth, the way in which they are revealing who they are in the world today and shining a light on who we are in the world today. And that's the remarkable thing. When you think about a band like U2, it could be, oh yeah, they sell out arenas, they have fans all around the world, the impact is so huge, but they continue to evolve and grow and give back and tell stories that are meaningful in our world today. And that is a part of, you know, why we care about celebrating artists like this. They are changing our culture. They're reminding us who we are. They are giving to so many people. I will tell you that we have had a remarkable number of people say, I'm Bono's best friend. I need to be at Kennedy Center Honors.
How many best friends does he have?
I know. How many best friends can you have in the world? But these artists, not just Bono, but all four of them, are truly, truly generous and have made a huge impact on people's lives.
Yes, and I mentioned Bono and The Edge, but I definitely want to shout out Adam Clayton and Larry Mullen Jr. They need their time in the sun too. Before we move on to the final honoree, do you have a personal favorite U2 song? That's like picking your favorite, you know, child or whatever the analogy is.
But... Well, that's exactly right. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for is really my favorite. When my husband said, "Okay, sing me some songs again," this is the classical music geek. Sing me some YouTube. Oh, yes, I know that. Oh, yes. Okay. I know this band. Yeah. You know, that one is moving to me. I love it.
Absolutely. I remember growing up hearing that on the radio, and they've been able to, you know, from the Joshua Tree stuff of the 80s to the, you know, the Hold Me, Throw Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me, Batman stuff of the 90s and Beautiful Day and all that stuff was early 2000s. And they're still going. I mean, few bands, maybe in the Rolling Stones, but, you know, have had hits in more decades. I mean, the Beatles were just that 1 9-year window or whatever. So, you know what I mean? U2's kept it going. All right. Well, without further ado, the fifth and final honoree, Tanya Leone, you mentioned earlier there's usually, you know, there's usually pick four, you know, popular mainstream people that everybody know. And then there's one of the quote unquote high arts. I hate that term, but you know what I mean? There's one lesser known artist. So talk about why Tanya Leone, why everybody should know that name after this Sunday.
Yeah. Tanya Leone is a remarkable woman who is... has never been looking for the platform in the spotlight, but she has been driven from her earliest age to express herself through music. She found her way from Cuba to the United States and has ultimately played every kind of role in classical music and working across genres with dancers and in chamber music and all other forms of art, whether it is as an educator or as a communicator. She has stood up for composers and artists. She was an early pioneer working with the Dance Theater of Harlem. The thing about Tanya is that her music draws you in and attaches itself to you in your heart. She just won the Pulitzer Prize last year for a work that was commissioned by the New York Philharmonic in honor of with women's suffrage anniversary. And I have a connection to her only because my family loved to commission a lot of brand new work. And so this is the first time I'm actually telling anybody that I had the first thing that Tanya said to me when I called her after a great pause of silence was, "Will your father be there?" because my father was an early commissioner of Tanya's. I'm very proud of all that she has achieved. She is a remarkable woman. Again, I just literally before I came on the radio with you, had an email from a colleague who said, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I must be the last person in Tanya's network who is writing to say, can I please buy a ticket to be there this weekend?" But it is truly beautiful to see that we're getting just as many people writing saying, "I am a big Tanya Leone friend and fan, and I need to be there." So it makes me feel great that you two and Tanya Leone can have that kind of fandom.
Oh, yeah. And it's just great that the Kennedy Center Honors runs the gamut from across all art disciplines. It's fantastic. Well, real quick, I want to follow up on that bit of breaking WTOP news. But what do you know what your father commissioned? Do you remember what the piece was?
I don't remember what the piece was, but he wrote it. He asked it to be written for a choral group. And I am embarrassed to say I should know what the name of that piece is, but I don't.
It's all right. You have until Sunday. You have until Sunday to.
Okay, I will get that for you. Yeah.
I'm sure people will ask you. So yeah, this is your that's your homework. As if you don't have enough on your plate. Let's end there then. You know, big picture it. We mentioned the artist this year getting honored. We mentioned the celebrity guests, and I mean, people will remember Aretha and. Heart doing Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven. That's probably the most famous one on YouTube. Go on YouTube and watch it now if you haven't. The guy, Robert Plant, was crying. just talk about how big of a thing this is in terms of DC events. It's the DC event, and also nation and worldwide watch it on PBS. My mom watches it every year, a couple weeks later after it's filmed and airs on PBS. Like, talk about how it is like the Washington event that everyone tunes in for every year.
What is really remarkable, and you've heard me say this, I like to say, well, there are 364 other days in the year where we do wonderful events at the Kennedy Center. But this one night is the night that brings Hollywood, business, politics, and international attention all into the same room. We have an extraordinary audience to match the extraordinary stage of performers this year. And it almost feels like people really, truly are saying, now we are ready all to be together once again. And let's remember, the arts are a place where we do build empathy and understanding and connection. And the room will be filled with people on both sides of the aisle, representing countries from around the world, and businesses large and small. It is that special because there is an interest in the role in the arts in our world. Let's be clear, we all need something that makes our world better, and the arts, no matter where you stand on the spectrum, the arts bring us together. And when you have a variety of artists like this, you're gonna have that kind of celebration. This is the biggest night in Washington, I like to think, not just because it's the Kennedy Center, but because it's the arts. And the attention that the White House and the vice president's office have given to the arts in this country has been really one that is deeply, deeply appreciated.
And but will the president, first lady be there? Because I know the last couple years, to your point, it was always what I loved about it was always a bipartisan thing for, you know, whether it was Barack Obama or President Bush or President, you know, whatever, like Reagan, like they would always come and not mentioning any names. But it was really sad that it was someone so divisive that people were pulling out of the Kennedy Center Honors. But I don't even want to go down that track. But I'm glad it's sort of back to, you know, people from all sides of can come to the Kennedy Center and enjoy this. But will the president be there?
Well, as you know, this is a really big week here in Washington, D.C., and it's mm-hmm. not just about the Christmas tree lighting on Wednesday, but there's another big event, I think, at the White House this week as well. But as far as I know, we will be seeing them. They're still working out all the logistics. Last year, we did have both the president and first lady and the vice president and the second gentleman. And we're hoping that we can welcome them all back to the Kennedy Center this weekend as well.
Awesome. Well, again, it is this Sunday, December 4th, the 45th annual Kennedy Center Honors, celebrating George Clooney, Gladys Knight, Amy Grant, you two, and Tanya Leone. Man, that is a lineup and a half. Not to mention all the surprise guests. So, hey, thanks so much for doing this. Do we have an air date on the PBS?
Yes, yet? We do. It's on CBS. CBS on December 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific.
Awesome.
So thank everybody you. Will be able to see it then.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for making so much time and going in such depth on all these artists. It is going to be a fantastic night. Thanks so much.
Jason, great to talk with you.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.